This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
God is letting us know that He's not going to keep our hearts from being troubled. He says, you do not let your heart be troubled. So He's like, I am making you responsible for not letting your heart be troubled. Because you can let your heart be troubled, or you can do something to make sure it's not trouble. Trouble's gonna come, but it doesn't have to be heart deep.
Calling all world changers and those who have been changed by the message of grace. It's homecoming time. We've been on the road spreading the gospel, and now it's time to bring it home. That's right. Grace Life 2023 Homecoming is upon us and will be an experience like no other. We are inviting the entire World Changers Nation home July 13th through the 15th at the World Dome in College Park, Georgia. Welcome home, World Changers.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Let's look at something in St. John chapter 11. And let's answer this question. Does God care about my problems? I tell you what, I've asked that question, and I'll tell you more than once. Does God care about my problems? I'm gonna look at a situation here dealing with the raising of Lazarus. And I want you to see what was going on here, and I'll make some commentary about it. John chapter 11, verse 1. He says, and a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. So they had obviously said that, you know. They knew Jesus cared about them, was close to their family. We're gonna let him know and see if he cares. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. He didn't move immediately. For the next 2 days, he stayed where he was, even after he got the message. I'm sure even as some of you who are reading, it's like, wow. Didn't really look like he cared. He stayed where he was for 2 days. And then let's move over here to, I'm not gonna read the whole story for time's sake, verse 17 through 21. So when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. 4 days already in the grave. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Now, I wondered about this. I underlined this in my Bible, but Mary stayed in the house. Wonder, was she a little disturbed? Jesus is here. I ain't feeling him right now. I mean, she was human. She might still have some kind of issue with, you know, we sent you word in time enough for you to come and do something. But you stayed for 2 days, and now he been buried for 4 days. And so Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Huh. And she said, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus kept saying, listen, you don't get it. I am the resurrection. I am the life. This is not over until I say it's over. Huh? How many of you think, well, I ain't no use to praying no more? I mean, God, if you'd have did this before the doctor found this, it would have been fine. But it's too late now. They done already found it. They done already said what it is. If you'd have did something before I came to the doctor, and then you just quit. You just give up. You know, the whole time you've been saying, I'm healed. The whole time you've been quoting scripture. The whole time. And then the doctor say, oh, yeah, you got it. It's right there. I see it. And you're like, well, I ain't no use of me saying nothing no more. No, I'm encouraging you, don't change. If you started off with I'm healed and you continue with I'm healed and you healed no matter what. Somebody says, well, what if they die? I said, what a way to go. Go in faith, praise God. And then he said in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, the issue is, does God care? A deep anger swelled up within him and he was deeply troubled. He said, where have you put him? And I wonder why several times it mentions that he was angry. They still didn't know him. You still don't know who you're talking to. And I think it's true in this room today. When crazy things happen, as many times God has delivered you. Situations still keep coming up, getting you to doubt. You still don't know him. You're still not convinced that he's a way out of no way. You're still not convinced that he's a doctor in a sick room. You're still not convinced. You forget to count what he's already done. And if for some reason this trouble is somehow greater than what you've already experienced, he says, you still don't know me. There ain't nothing you can go through that's going to be greater than who I am in your life. He said, where have you put him? He said, come and see, verse 35. Then Jesus wept. Well, they really didn't understand what was going on there. For about 35 years of my ministry, I didn't understand what was going on there. Jesus wept. They were like, oh, look at him. He's crying over his good friend. They knew he cared. But he wasn't really crying over his good friend. If you read on down there, Jesus says, I know you hear my prayer always. The question is, when did he pray? Because he said, I know you hear my prayer always. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm thinking, did I miss something here? When did he pray? Oh, when he wept. He wasn't crying in sorrow. Listen, it don't even make no sense. If Jesus is angry because y'all don't know who he is, and he said he's the resurrection and resurrection and the life, why is he crying in sorrow at the death that he is the solution for? So you know he's not talking about those kind of tears. When he wept, he was entering into the strongest, most powerful form of prayer known to man. And it's called the prayer of groanings. He was groaning in the spirit. Urubushaka. I don't know if any of you have ever reached that level of prayer where you're praying in tongues and you're in the middle of praying. You've been praying there for about an hour or so, and all of a sudden you're not even praying anymore. You're just weeping and groaning and moaning and trying to get something out. But there's a prayer of groaning that goes forth. And when he finished praying and weeping and groaning, he said, I know you hear my prayer always. I don't know what I said or what those groans meant, but when I prayed, I know you heard it. Lazarus, come forth. I got a teaching on the prayer of groanings. But they knew he cared, not just because he wept or groaned or prayed, but because he raised his friend from the dead. There it is again. Why did Lazarus die? Watch this. So we can see the glory of God. So we can see the glory of God. I was looking at this last night, and it came across my spirit. Glory, a manifestation of victory. A manifestation of victory. That's what you're got. That's what you're about to see. You're going to see the glory of God out of the trouble, out of the pressure, out of the situations that you've been going through. Get ready for the manifestation of victory. I heard that in my spirit. I said, I got to write that down. The glory of God is about to hit your life. The glory of God is about to hit your house. The glory of God is about to hit your relationship. The glory of God is about to hit your business. It's about to hit your finances. It's about to hit your marriage. A manifestation of victory. Ooh, Jesus. My goodness. God cares deeply for us. He knows exactly what we're going through and the pain we're facing. And just like Jesus was with Mary and Martha, He's deeply moved by our circumstances and what we're walking through. It may not feel like it, but He's walking right beside us through our pain. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Because you're with me. You're with me. You got to have heart surgery. You don't know what they're going to do. He's with me. So focus more on, I have faith that He's with me. I have faith that He's going to take care of me. I have faith that He's right by me. He's comforting me, praise God. Quit putting so much emphasis on the trouble and start putting all of your focus on His presence, praise God. And then when you see His presence, you can have His peace, and then people look at you and say, how can you be so peaceful when you're going through this? And you can tell them, because I know I'm not alone. God is with me. And the question is, will you take a hold of His hand and let Him comfort you? I've had to learn how to do that. I've had to let Him take my hand, God, comfort me. This is painful. This hurts. I don't understand. I don't know why. How long? When is it going to be over? God, take my hand. Comfort me. This is what I'm trying to teach you. A real, intimate relationship. A God who's present in a time of need, who won't leave you. And somebody says, well, I didn't know He was there. It's because you weren't paying attention. He's always been there. And it's when we recognize that He's always there and we can just yield to Him is where we start walking in a peace that passes all understanding. We sleep peaceful at night. We wake up with joy in the morning. And people on the outside can't even tell you're in the middle of a furnace. And after it's all over with, I'm like that. I don't like to talk until it's all over with. Because I want to see the full story to tell you how good God is. But I prophesy over your life, world changers, that a manifestation of victory is about to hit your life. The expiration of your trouble is about to come, and the manifestation of your victory is about to hit your life. Amen. Because we're talking about a God who will never leave you. Now, I know that there are some that will get up in the pulpit and say, well, you know what? God's not there because you hadn't been good enough. Honey, God said, I'll never leave you. Now, either He's telling the truth or He's lying. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. He didn't say, I'm going to stay with you only if you sinless. Because the issue is you ain't sinless. I don't care how hard you try. You ain't sinless. What you say? You ain't sinless? Well, I ain't committed adultery. I mean, I ain't talking about the Big Ten. I'm talking about you not sin is sin. Don't be talking about no. In order for you to say you're sinless, you got to inject some new rules. You got to divide it up and say, well, there's big sin and there's small sin. No, sin is sin.
and you sin when you're rude to the waitress at the restaurant or committing adultery. You're sinful when you treat people in the wrong way and when you do other stuff. You're sin, and you need Jesus to present you faultless before God. You're never going to be able to present yourself faultless before God. You need Jesus to present you faultless before God. And the Bible says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, hallelujah, and present you faultless before God. But you're going to need Jesus this whole life. It ain't never going to be a time in this life where you can dismiss Jesus and say, I got it, bruh. You're going to need him all the rest of the day. You're going to need him tomorrow. You're going to need him all this week. You're going to need him Christmas, New Year's. You ain't going to never not need him. I just want you to know that this relationship is real. I just want you to know that you don't have to spend the rest of your life playing church or debating about the scripture. Spend time with him. Get to know him for yourself. And let him become the leader and the guide in your life. And you'll see for yourself when you're talking to him, when you're in the house by yourself, or when you're washing dishes, or when you're cutting the grass, you're talking to him. And then one day you just decided to just be quiet and he started talking back to you. He started talking back to you. Whew. A God that hears you. But then he said, my sheep hear my voice. Why? They know me and I know them. This is a personal relationship. Not some play church religion where you got to keep these rules and if you keep these rules, if you keep all these rules, then God gonna bless you. Honey, if you could keep all the rules, you wouldn't need him. We need him. Amen. Amen. Here's the third question. We're gonna get these questions in. Why doesn't God take away the hard times? If God cares for me, why didn't he take away the hard times? Look at John 14 and 1. St. John 14 and 1. If God loves me, why didn't he take away the hard times? How many of you have ever, in your lifetime, how many of you have experienced any hard time? One or two? All right, the rest of them, we're going to cast out lying demons in you right now. I don't know what's the matter with you. I ask you a question. How many of you experienced hard times ever in your whole life? Thank you. That's everybody in here. If you didn't raise your hands, you're lying and linking your breast stink. You're lying. Of course you have. Part of the definition of life is hard times. They might not be as hard to you now because you've already been trained by some of the stuff. Look at this. These first three words. Don't or do not let. Don't let. Do not let. Some theologians say that's a command. Do not let. Don't let. And the implication, the implied word here is you don't let. So it's appearing that he is now here gonna make us responsible for something. Don't let. God is letting us know that he's not going to keep our hearts from being troubled. He says, you do not let your heart be troubled. So he's like, I am making you responsible for not letting your heart be troubled. Because you can let your heart be troubled, or you can do something to make sure it's not trouble. Trouble's gonna come, but it doesn't have to be heart deep. So he's saying you're responsible for trouble in your heart. I'm making you responsible. And this seems so unfair. This blew my mind when I'm thinking like, what?
He's not going to keep our hearts from being troubled. That's not what I was taught. I was taught God's going to be responsible for making sure my heart's not troubled. That's not what he said. He says, you don't let your heart be troubled.
Oh, my goodness. So if your heart's troubled, you're letting it. You know what he's saying?
I'm giving you authority
over your heart.
You'll be surrounded by trouble. You'll be confronted with trouble. You'll be confronted with pressures. You'll be confronted with stress. Do not let.
I apologize for screaming. I'm excited. I just heard that. It almost hurt me. I'm hollering so loud. You're like, dude, we got you. We're hollering, so we got it. The speakers are working. Apologies. Do not. That blew my mind. And so I'm sitting here with my heart troubled. And he's like, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, what are you going to do about it? Where are you? Why am I feeling like this? He says, you're letting it happen. You're letting it happen. You have authority over what goes in your heart. This is your heart. The devil just can't do stuff there. You have to let it in. You have to make a decision. It's kind of like a parent who does everything for their children. It's certainly not going to teach your kids as they grow up. It's not going to teach them anything by doing everything. I mean, they'll never learn the lessons from life. And the same is true if God takes problems and challenges and things away from us. We ain't never going to learn none. We ain't never going to learn none. Your son goes out and he gets a job, and then he quits the job, and then he moves back in with you, and he goes out and gets a job, and he quits the job, and he moves back with you, and he goes out and gets a job, and he quits the job, and he moves back with you, and you just keep taking the trouble of homelessness away from him. If I keep stepping in and taking the trouble away, you ain't never gonna learn nothing. You mess that up with all of the little stuff that you get from Christian church stuff, kind of stuff. Yeah, but God loved us, and God also let me go through a lot of hell. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, amen, somebody. Yes, he did. And I learned some stuff. And it's rough. It's rough as a parent. And it's the same thing with God. He doesn't delight in seeing you go through stuff because you just won't do what he asks you to do. Instead of taking life's hard lessons from us, oh God, he hands the responsibility over to us and leads and guides us through life's tough situations.
Do life's circumstances sometimes cause you to wonder whether God really cares about you? Well, you're not alone. In his three-message series, Does God Really Care About You?, Creflo Dollar delves deep into the impact of God's love and presence in the lives of his children.
God loves me so much, he says, give me your worry. So focus more on, I have faith that he's with me. I have faith that he's going to take care of me. Quit putting so much emphasis on the trouble and start putting all of your focus on his presence. And then when you see his presence, you can have his peace. And then people look at you and say, how can you be so peaceful when you're going through this? And you can tell them, because I know I'm not alone.
Order this series today for a love gift of $20 for CDs or $30 for DVDs. Simply visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore. Scan the QR code or call the number on your screen. Walk in the peace of God today.
Change Experience 2023 is coming to your city. Join Creflo Dollar in Miami, May 19th, and in Charlotte, June 9th. Unite with the World Changers Nation and get Psalm 91 equipped live. Experience meaningful worship and the life-changing message of grace. This is a revival like none other.
I like the way he teaches because he teaches so that you can understand.
Get up and come out, go out, you'll enjoy it. You'll be uplifted. You'll be encouraged. I'll just say you will be free.
You cannot miss this. It's important for the body of Christ and especially for the believer in the 21st century to hear this message.
If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to get pumped up and closer to the Lord, don't sit on that couch. Get dressed and get out the door.
Seating is limited. Register now. Text CHANGE 2023 to 51555. Scan the QR code or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
The 2020 Vision Partner Program at Creflo Dollar Ministries is more than a program. It's a relationship. Designed to make a high impact in your life, our lives, and the lives of millions around the world. Text 2020 Partner to 51555 to become a 2020 Vision Partner today.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.